There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all here on this Tuesday edition of the show. And yeah, if you didn't realize, it feels like Monday for a lot of folks, but shortened week, of course, with Memorial Day being yesterday. Still, phone number hasn't changed. Text line, Mallory Piping text line, same digits. Even though it's a Tuesday that feels like a Monday. 343-0106, 343-0106 gets you through. Also, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can call us or text us from the app, but you can also leave us one of those talkback messages on there. Unless you record a message, emails to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. So enjoy those. Also, I would ask you here as we get started, last few days of nappy voting out there, votenappies.com. Appreciate your vote. I'll pay you for your vote soon. As soon as I win, I will pay you handsomely. Of course, the radio station, I want your vote there. And then in all those other radio categories, so many of our shows competing against each other. It's cool stuff. So we appreciate your votes there. Just go to votenappies.com. I think you have through June 1st to do that. All right. Without further ado, and good to see this man in studio, Baldwin County Sheriff Anthony Lowry in studio. And he seems to be in good spirits and have made it through the boots in the sand. I mess with the name so much to mess with my teenager. You and I both have daughters.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And you know, it's fun to be a dad and be annoying.
Absolutely.
I called it Sandy Boots. Sand in my boots. I did everything I could. I forget what it was. The festival thing.
The festival. That's right.
So. Y'all are already suited up for, and I remember, you know, our conversations, and when we get to that, how big Baldwin County's population gets on, you know, from, you know, beginning of May, really through spring break, through
sure.
through like October. But then you have the additional, I read, I think 40,000 people come to that event.
And Sean, I was there all 3 days, and I will tell you, I believe 40,000 people were there. It looked amazingly packed on the beach down in Gulf Shores.
Looking at the report, just like kind of the blotter from it, looks like it was fairly tame.
I'll tell you, you know, we had a little experience to draw on in that a few of us had gone to California and visited with the promoters, and we went to Coachella, and mm-hmm. you know, that's how we learned how to handle the security of this event. Well, one of the things they had told us, the Coachella crowd, similar to the Music Fest crowd, the original hangout, they were more inclined to have drugs, less inclined to cause trouble, fighting, and those sort of things. And then they said, out there, if you come back in a few weeks to Stagecoach, you'll see what the country music brings. And it's more beer drinking, it's more fights, you know, disorderly. But, Sean, that just wasn't true. You know, I don't know what the beer sales were. I'm sure they were extraordinary. but I will tell you, that was the best behaved crowd that we've ever experienced in the whole 14 years that we've been doing, or 13 years that we've been doing the festival. It was
really,
it was tremendous. People got along, people were glad to be there, and the acts were good. Obviously, I didn't mm-hmm. see all the acts, but I thought the festival was outstanding.
So what do you think, just from your perspective? I know it's up for decision going forward, but if they asked you, Sheriff, they said we want to renew a contract, what would you say?
Yes, you know, I spoke with Mayor Kraft about this at length while I was down there, and, you know, I would be in support of it. Just if it's that same type festival with, mm-hmm. with the country music, with, you know, I know that other genres will mix in, and that, you know, that's fine, too. Mm-hmm. Not all music's for everybody. I get that.
Right.
But, again, it's such a tremendous impact on the community. impact in, on Gulf Shores, impact on the sheriff's office. You know, our guys get to get paid extra money to be there, so that's good for them.
Yeah, let's talk about, if people didn't hear you talk about in the past, so people know, I love to like get the facts.
Sure.
Y'all are paid by the promoter. It's not coming out of taxpayer dollars. That's
right. The promoter pays for every bit of the enforcement that's down from the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office. They actually route that money through the city of Gulf Shores. We send the city a bill, and it's paid ultimately by the people that purchase the tickets. So it's a great event for us. You know, very few times do deputies actually get to work together in such a large venue. As you know, we may have 15 or 16 guys out on a patrol squad, but they may not see each other for a week if you're working the north end versus the south end of the county. And so it's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to bring in the new deputies that we have, because you get to see a lot of things that you just don't see on the road every day. And again, we enjoy it as the sheriff's office. It's been really good for us. I know my wife told me yesterday, too, that Pensacola Airport reported a record day the Monday following the festival. So, right, I mean, that just goes the footprint out there is big, you know, for what the impact is.
That's good. It's good to hear. Yeah. Because literally and figuratively, you and your deputies are the front lines.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, also, beyond those festivals, you and I had talked about the beach in general and securing, you know, different combinations between y'all and, I guess, Aaliyah and a helicopter and flying the beach. How's that going so far?
It's going great. You know, I actually got some texts over the weekend from different people on the island that were down at Robinson Island and on the beach, and they saw the helicopter. Everyone loves the helicopter. I mean, it's pretty. Mm-hmm. And it really is providing safety. You know, Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, they're so good about providing those rescue swimmers, putting those people in the helicopter where they can respond immediately to an issue. It really benefits people visiting here in Baldwin County.
Yeah, if y'all hadn't heard about it, I mean, the first time I ever heard about it was from the sheriff, and this idea is to be able to get those rescue swimmers to where
the person in distress is. You know, the sheriff's office, we buy a lot of equipment. And keep in mind, Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, they're different. They have rescue swimmers that work their beaches. We don't have that in the Fort Morgan area. We have deputies, and of course, you have the volunteer fire department down there. The chief, Lee Steiner, he's great to work with. But again, we don't have all the tools that they have inside the cities. And so it's great to know
but
that.
But y'all will respond. Like, we do. If it's inside the footprint of Orange Beach and Gulf Shores and there's an issue y'all are needed,
we're always going to respond, absolutely. But my point is, we don't have rescue swimmers down in Fort Morgan. We have equipment that we can shoot projectiles out into the water and try to do some land-based rescues in hopes that, you know, the helicopter will be there soon.
Now, speaking of that, I don't know if you saw that video from over in Pensacola. The guy uses the drone to fly that.
Right.
You know, that's pretty, what my dad used to say, that's pretty slick.
I think Orange Beach actually has a version of that they utilize there inside the city. And that's something that we're going to look at too. We've actually been approached by a couple private individuals wanting to purchase something like that for us for the Fort Morgan area.
It's pretty good stuff. Anybody who took, you know, I mean, y'all did it at advanced level, but I talk about going through Boy Scouts and life saving and all that. They'd always teach you, the most dangerous part, you get out there when you get near the person that's drowning and you go to render assistance, that's the danger zone of where, you know, because that person's panicking.
Yes.
And you don't want them to pull you under as well. If you can get somebody afloat, you know, if you're not a rescue diver trained, but you can get somebody afloat without putting yourself right next to them, it's a win.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's been good. We have been, no shark alerts going off?
We talked about this. You know, we had a meeting, the sheriff's office, and we met with the chiefs of police in Baldwin County. We went over some legislation that had passed, and we talked about that. You know, I think a lot of that initial language was taken out of there that would
it was made better.
Complicating the issue. But again, I don't see that being utilized all that often, if hardly ever.
Well, but where does it come down on that, the way you understand it now? Because you would be, all right, the alert would go off. Somebody who is within public safety has to set off the alert, right?
Right. And I think, Sean, anybody inside public safety can do that. But again, it has to be unprovoked shark bite, which, you know, most of the ones we have are provoked. You know, they're fishermen, you know, they're handling the sharks and get bit. So those would not apply under the law. So if there was a shark attack, obviously you're going to call 911 to get any type of medical all those people there, that could trigger, you know.
Okay, then the alert goes out. Then is it, so, and that's the technology, the backside. I talked to Commissioner Blankenship about mm-hmm. that some. That goes out. Then do public safety, because it could be reported that way, then do you have to do something at that point, or the report just goes out? Is there a second?
It just goes out. There's no other responsibility, at least for the sheriff's office, after that point, once the announcement has gone out.
Okay, so there we go. There's the update on the, because I was wondering. I mean, it's, yeah, I look at it in the legislative session. I make my commentaries, but I realize, too, I'm not the one that has to implement these things. So
no, that's it. And I will say, you know, when it was, the language first came out, it was a lot more of a burden on the Mobile and Baldwin County Sheriff's Office, the things that we were responsible for doing. And they took those things out a lot. You know, again, what if you didn't know you were supposed to do it or something? The information wasn't good. Is there some type of penalty for not doing the alert? Or on the other end, if you send out an alert and it turns out to be a false alarm, is there some liability there too? So, you know, all those things really needed to be hammered out to see, you know, what to do.
But you felt good about it after the changes.
I feel better about it. You know, again, I just don't know how much we're going to use it.
All right. Hey, it's your chance to ask the Sheriff, Baldwin County Sheriff Lowry, our guest this hour on Midday Mobile.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's my friend Trey. He's been doing it for 18-plus years in Mobile and Baldwin County, getting junk rid, the junk gone from your house, storage unit, office, wherever you got junk, and you've been saying, oh, I'm going to get around to it. We'll get around to it with, which actually I remember a gift item that my buddy's parents gave him when we were kids, and it was a circular piece of wood, and it said around to it. And
I've seen it.
Well, get around to it the real way here, y'all, and get an appointment set to get that junk gone, and it is that easy, and it is a good old-fashioned appointment. If you go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call them, their name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they'll work with you to find the day you want to get this done, the time you want to get it done. All you do is show up. You point at the junk you want gone. They'll quote your price right there on the spot. You say yes, and get to work then and get it done and get that junk out of your life. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Our guest is our Baldwin County Sheriff, Anthony Lowry. A lot to get into. That was kind of the sweep through since I've seen you last, the things going on. But the bigger item, you're talking about the $40,000 for the Sandy Boots Festival. Mm-hmm. But the bigger item out there was just what you had told me last time. Y'all listen to this. Population y'all are tasked with public safety for is Baldwin County's how many?
I would say around 300,000 300,000 people live in Baldwin County.
Okay, the residents.
The city, you know, the actual number may be a little bit less than that, but I believe that people live here. There's probably 300,000.
Okay, so on just estimates on a given, not even festival weekend, Memorial Day weekend just happened, what kind of increase?
You know, I'd like to see what the Memorial Day numbers were, but I got to believe you're probably looking at another 300,000 or 400,000 people that came in. You know, I mean, there's a lot over that week period.
That was the thing when we talked about last time that made me think, gosh, it's got to be hard just the staffing of that, to have a place that goes, because, you know, on a given November weekend, you're serving 300,000. Mm-hmm. But a weekend in May, you're serving 600,000. How do you staff that? Not to be overstaffed in November, but to be properly staffed come May or Independence Day weekend or something like that.
Well, again, that's kind of where the experience comes in, Sean, doing it so long. We know how to build towards that. You know, like this weekend, the good thing, schools are out. So now we have school resource officers now that are not working in school. So they're back out working patrol, doing other assignments within the sheriff's office. And then the festival itself, that's planned a year ahead. Mm-hmm. We'll start planning on the next one, whether they have it or not. We'll go ahead and plan as we are going to have one and be ready for that. And then keep in mind, there's all other things going on in the county, you know, May Day festivals and different events that go on. You know, I'll give you, for instance, yesterday, the sheriff's office participated in three separate Memorial Day services in the county, one in William F. Green and Spaman at, the Veterans Cemetery on 225, and then Robertsdale actually had one, too, at Honeybee Park. So you still want to do all those things, too. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very important. And actually, I think we had another group that was at the Tractor Supply in Summerdale with the big trucks there. I think our SWAT truck was there to show that off. So you don't want to lose that community aspect either. While these things are important and they do make a lot of money for the county, you still want to do the things for your people that live here.
Sure. And a good thing to be at those events would be at William F. Green and be at Saluda Hill there too. It's just what a beautiful.
Yeah. Dr. Barry Booth, you know, he heads that up. He does a great job, and there's never been a more passionate advocate for veterans than Dr. Booth.
You know, I didn't realize this, and this is kind of off just our regular subject, but you and I talking, until this dust-up came up with Admiral Davis and the state and all that, I guess I was used to our veterans community here being so strong. I made the assumption, and Mama used to tell me what assuming does, but made the assumption that other Northwest Alabama, East Central, West Central would have that same kind of...
Yeah, you would think.
It didn't show up. Not the same way.
No.
Not that there's not proud veterans and families there, and but it was like we... Just like I tell people who talk to me from out of town, I said, I didn't know till I was older that everybody didn't grow up in a city with Mardi Gras and a battleship in his backyard, you know? But I also didn't realize that there weren't... we have a really robust veterans community here that's not seen elsewhere in our state.
Yeah, and I didn't realize it either, but it is great to have it. You know, we have some great people that, I interact with on a lot, a monthly basis that are veterans or represent veteran groups, veteran affairs. And we are blessed in Baldwin County with that. And having the cemetery on 225, it's beautiful. It's well used. And I don't mean that in a negative context by any means. It's an honor to be buried there. And, the sheriff's office, we like I said, we participate in as many things as was required there or that we can. So we're really excited about that.
I'm going to, and it's just, I don't know, it just stood out to me that you kind of get in your silo. If you're homeboys and homegirls, you think it's this way everywhere. Yes. And it's just, what I hope is other veterans groups in the rest of the state get organized like they are down here, for sure. All right, let's grab some text from the Mallory Piping text line for Sheriff Lowry. Chris in Orange Beach said, is there anything being done about Marine Police gasoline motors around Robinson Island? Our condo is right next door to Sportsman's, and I can sit there on the balcony and watch it all day long. I don't know, gasoline motors.
I don't know what they're talking about there.
Gasoline motors around, I'm not sure. Maybe, I don't know. Tell you what, Chris, if you can send us a clarifying text there. T-Bone said, I just tuned in and heard the discussion. The difference in us and anywhere else is Dr. Barry Booth. Agreeing with you, Sheriff, that's for sure. Buddy says, what is the point of even having a shark alert? Well, legislature decided.
The legislature decided. And hey, don't get me wrong. If someone gets attacked, we're going to do it, and we'll see if it's effective in saving other people. Certainly, that's the goal. That's the thoughts behind it. And, we'll make it happen.
And I'm going to ask this one, but we're pretty close to the break, but we'll get this started. Any updates on what's going on with Baldwin County Jail?
Yeah, so the jail, we're moving along, I guess, with two things there. The ICE inspections, we've undergone a couple inspections. We still have a couple more steps to follow through with. I anticipate us relatively soon for that opening where we can house ICE detainees. I think that will come about.
Now, even though y'all work with your federal partners and memorandum of understanding, work with them, y'all can't house them there.
We can't house ICE detainees if there's not an accompanied criminal charge.
Other than being
right now, if we arrested an illegal for a robbery, they're going to be in the jail. That's not a problem. If they're here because they're undocumented, that we can't house them at this moment. But I do look for that to change. The sentiment in Washington D.C., as you well know, has changed, and I think some of the inspection. I know the inspection paperwork that we did this time is different, and so my hope is that we're able to open that jail back up.
Where are those people going now?
Right now, they were going to Hancock, Mississippi, but I don't know that they are still going there. I think they may be going directly to Louisiana. I did find out that some of these people that are just undocumented, they're eligible to make a $5,000 bond, is what at least the person I talked to said that they knew the bond to be $5,000. And if you made a cash bond, you were able to be back out on the street.
What if they had caught them before?
Then they're not eligible for a bond.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was going, please don't tell me.
It's a good question because you know how things can be in this system. So it's a great question. But no, they're detained. The people that make the $5,000 bond, they ultimately go to another hearing in Atlanta. And that could be just been on how busy the court is.
But that's been a change. That $5,000 bond was not there before, right?
They were eligible for a bond, yeah. In the United States, you're eligible for a bond.
But were they paying, like when the people were turned loose on their own recognizance, were they paying that bond before Trump was in office?
No. I mean, there was no documentation.
Okay. Just wanted to check that out. Coming right back, your questions for Sheriff Lowry right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. It's a chance to ask the Sheriff, Baldwin County Sheriff Anthony Lowry, our guest this hour. 343-0106 for the Mallory Piping text line. Same for a phone call. You could always leave us a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. Let's talk about this because we're talking about being able to possibly hold these people that are detained at the Baldwin County Jail going forward after some happened here. But there's a story that's been around, and I want to get your reaction. Not that it was your deputies involved in this, but I think this is important. There's headlines on state websites and local TV stations that a U.S.-born citizen, right? He had the real ID, you know, that kind of, you know, ripped from today's headline stuff. And he was handcuffed and detained. But with a little more looking into this, it's because he broke a law. It wasn't about being documented, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, laws are made for U.S. citizens, and if you violate them, you're going to go to jail, too. And I think this situation here is a situation where he interjected himself into the process of someone else being arrested. And any time that you do that, and I will say almost 100% of the time that you do that, that you try to prevent an arrest, you're going to be charged. And I think that's what happened to him. So his citizenship wasn't in question, nor was it an issue, was the fact that he, as a private citizen, interjected himself into a lawful arrest of another individual.
Yeah. As real ID, you could have all the IDs in the world.
ID doesn't exempt you from the laws.
Yes.
So anyway, and certainly as a U.S. citizen, he ought to appreciate that.
Yeah. So it's good to get that out because, I mean, those headlines flashed, and I was like, what's...
Yeah.
You know, and then I think you see things like that and I go, oh, there's national news media wants to pick this up and say this is what's happening in Alabama. In fact, and then like they missed paragraph two somehow.
Yeah. You know, and I think that was the thing, you know, the headlines, what they wanted to get out there, the material or the information behind the case wasn't really relevant to them. It's unfortunate. But, you know, that happens all the time, Sean. We see that and people, they pick up one particular part of a story and run with that when that's not the whole book by any measure.
How frustrating is that?
It can be really frustrating because what happens, you know, I got an email about this case over the weekend that you're talking about that came into me wanting to know if the sheriff's office was involved. And obviously we were not. But you spend a lot of time combating bad information when you could be, you know, doing some other productive stuff with your time. And so it is aggravating.
Okay. So, y'all, that story that and we talked about a little bit, I think, this morning, but the details are important out there. So read through those. All right. The courthouses, and for people to understand, too, our system, we explained it all session long. But, yes, it's our state. It's the way we work things. Local things that are completely local to county, county level, have to go through Montgomery.
Absolutely.
To become law. And that's a whole other discussion. But one important to y'all did make it through. Y'all were the one bill that made it through. Good. Yeah, good, Sheriff. Good.
Yeah.
Because there was about, I don't know, about, what, 650 left on the
There were a lot left. But one that did pass for Baldwin County is really, truly beneficial. Because if you know, if you've been to Bay Minette, where our county seat is, that's where the main county courthouse is. And that's where all the jury trials are. And there's different court going on there 5 days a week. We're at a point right now, Sean, we have 9 judges and 7 courtrooms. So you do the math, somebody can't have court.
Right.
And so there was a law limiting.
Yeah, it seems wasteful.
Absolutely. Now, this doesn't apply to Mobile County or Escambia County.
We need them all suit up and play.
That's right. but that's how the system works. And so we were able to get Representative Matt Simpson, got a bill passed through with a delegation from Baldwin County, and everybody in Baldwin County, all the representatives are really on board this. It allows us now to have court in Fairhope and in Foley every day. There was a limited number of days in that you could do it in a year previous to this. This new local bill removed that exception. And so what I think you're going to see now is we're going to start, that this will be up to the judges and how they do that, but they'll start having some jury trials outside of Bay Minette for the first time ever.
Okay.
And there'll be no limit, like I said, on the number of days. And so where that's really big is the county courthouse is being under construction right now. They're putting in a new sally port. They're putting holding cells in there for the sheriff's office in the courthouse itself. And it really becomes a problem because you're trying to protect the judges. You're trying to protect the citizens. And you're trying to keep the inmates from running out the doors. So you have some issues there. Mm-hmm. And so when we're able to farm some of these other courts out, you know, hearings out to these other courthouses, it helps everybody and it increases public safety. So that was really important to the sheriff's office. Really happy to have that bill passed.
Very good. So and it keeps you from having y'all's backlog may not be like Mobile County, but it keeps it.
There is a backlog, and it's one of those things. The judges are really willing to work, and they do a good job, but you got to give them a place to do it. And
right.
So with this bill, that should alleviate any short term issues anyway that we're having.
Yeah, no. This, but as a person that runs a jail, I got to ask you this. I mean, it's not your problem, not your state, but reaction to what happened in Orleans Parish with the.
It's just to me. You know, I guess it could happen anywhere, but for 10 of them to get out, you know, and Lord knows I've become an expert here in jail construction lately, and not that I wanted to be, but I looked at the pictures and saw some of the stuff on the internet, and it's just, I mean, it's inexcusable. And
the number of people that worked inside that jail, I've now dubbed the Apple Dumpling Gang, that, you know, set things up for these.
And, you know, Sean, it's one of those things. You know, we had a conference a couple weeks ago. The National Academy Conference was here, and they had a guy named Gordy Graham spoke. And Gordy Graham made a point. He talked about different people and different law enforcement officers have been arrested throughout the country for different things. And he made a point that he promises you, if you went and interviewed people inside those organizations, these things didn't come to a surprise to them. You know, it's not something that's like, oh, gosh, I can't believe that happened. Somebody somewhere knew that things like this were escalating, getting bigger, getting worse, moving forward with different things like that. And I bet you the New Orleans situation is going to be exactly like that.
How do you make sure that doesn't happen, in your jail or other jails? What lessons can you learn? I mean,
well,
is there a way for people to blow the whistle earlier?
Well, I think it kind of really starts at the very beginning. If Sean's working in my jail and I see that Sean's not watching inmates like mm-hmm. he normally does, and I don't hold him to that standard, I don't want to sound like Nick Saban here.
But
Sean's not meeting that standard, but I'm not doing anything about it. As a supervisor, you know, I'm not doing anything about it. I like Sean. We go fishing on the mm-hmm. weekends, and I don't want to say anything to him to upset the apple cart. I think that's where the sliding starts. You start sliding down that hill there. And then before long, you know, you may be accepting Sean walking away from that pod for 10 minutes or something to go outside and smoke, and they're unattended or something, mm-hmm. you know. So I think
then Billy's going to see Sean and say, well, if he can do it, then why can't I?
And then you go into, do they build personal relationships? That's one thing. And when you have a jail, you can't allow the inmates to
We've
try
heard
to
these
do,
stories where this stuff happens, right?
And it does happen. It's happened in our jail where we've had to terminate people for having a relationship with an inmate, not inside the facility because that's a crime, but developing those relationships. You're not allowed to fraternize with felons. And so we've had that too. And it goes back to what I'm saying in New Orleans. I bet you there's going to be more of that story that people, somebody knew about this beforehand, that things were moving in that direction.
It didn't just up and happen.
It didn't just up and happen. That's right. You know, you look at these 10 inmates, while they may not all 10 have had a relationship with the folks in there, several of them had developed relationships to get to that point where they could get outside of that facility.
And then somebody's friends with that person who's with the corrections officer. And then, if I can go, can they go too?
And I'll tell you, that's why it's important. That's why we're blessed in Baldwin County. We have really good corrections officers, and we have a standard, and it's what I told you. You know, we hold them to that standard, and it's important to keep the inmates in there and keep the people safe. I mean, New Orleans is a risky place at best, you know, a lot of times. Well, you put 10 convicted felons on the street, that's a recipe for disaster.
Big time, big time. You know, as you talk about that, too, holding the higher standard, you also are trying to staff the expanded jail.
Right. Absolutely. So you know, and
How are you doing on those numbers?
We're doing well. But, you know, I saw this morning Novellus is starting to hire. So that's going to be an issue that directly affects Baldwin County, in that we're competing for employees. So we have to make sure that the things that we provide them will make them want to work there. And that's part of this new jail. I hope to get you there to see it sometime. But it's got amenities for the first time ever in our jail. For the corrections officers, they're going to have showers and a workout room and some space of their own where they're not secure portions of the jail, and they can take a breath more or less. And so you got to have to provide those things, and you provide a culture that they want to work therein. And again, I go back to, we have retirement parties and we have different things, family events. You'll see that our corrections deputies, they're 100% on board. They enjoy being with each other. They're a true family unit. They do it better than anybody else in the sheriff's office as far as celebrating the successes of each other. So,
I mean, that's got to be important. A lot of people not thinking about the fact that, okay, they're doing this job. It could be a dangerous job. And here's a job that's paying more the same that's not, that they may say, why do I stay here and not go there?
You got to have a heart of a servant. That's the difference. You got to want to be able to make a difference.
Coming right back. More with Sheriff Lowry right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. This segment of the show brought to you by Jeff Stone. The folks at Stone Arms pointed out, too, if you've been thinking about it, going to get around to it again to get a silencer. I'm that guy. For a couple years, I had a manila folder on my desk right here at the office and had like part of my paperwork printed out and done, and then you'd have to go get fingerprinted one place and a passport-type photo somewhere else. There's just a bunch of stuff you had to do to put it together. And so I didn't get it done. So I'm talking to Jeff Stone, and he said, why don't you just come to the shop? And I said, what do you mean? He said, I've got a kiosk here that walks you through everything you have to do to get green-lighted to get your silencer. I said, okay, I'll do that. He said, and he tells everybody here, take 30 minutes to do it. It took me 20 minutes. And it's like a do this, and then you press the button and goes to the next thing on this. It's a screen. Like when you walk in, you hang the immediate right there at Stone Arms. They're just west of Snow on Airport. And you do this thing, and then you put your fingerprints in, and you press the next and next. And if you've got a question at any point, you know, Jeff or any of the crew there will come help you walk through it. It took me 20 minutes, and then sends off and, you know, goes to the feds. And within 2 weeks... In 2 weeks, this thing that I thought was never going to happen, I get my green light to get my silencer. And lucky for me, the selection of silencers is fantastic at Stone Arms. And they also, having a gunsmith on site that can tap rifles you already have for that silencer. They can also have, you know, maybe a new rifle. There's a treat to get one of those to put it with. They've got those in the knowledge to put them together and put those packages together so very, very well. But the first step is, if you've been saying, I'm never going to get this done, dude, you can get it, or do that. You can get this done quickly. Stone Arms, that's online at stonearmsinc.com. But go see them in person. Take advantage of that kiosk. They are just west of Snow on Airport Boulevard. Check them out today. All right, continue our conversation with Baldwin County Sheriff Lowry, and we'll get your questions on the Mallory Piping text line. Let's go to one here. Let's see. B-Dark says, if 10 people escaped Baldwin County Jail, I don't think the citizens would help much. I don't know.
I think if 10 people escaped from the Baldwin County Jail, I think you would see the people of Bay Minette helping a lot. You know, that's, you know, I spoke about that a little bit yesterday when I was in Robertsdale. You know, the heart of the communities in Baldwin County, we're really blessed with the people and that would stand up. And I think you would see the opposite of that. I think you would see the people of Bay Minette come out and give every bit of assistance they could.
Yeah, Joe T says it's the integrity of those people. So I got to ask you a question here that is maybe, well, I would say it is good news. Your ideas of why it's happening, but fentanyl overdose cases are down nationally and in our state,
locally,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So is that a people getting smarter, less supply because of the border? Your thoughts as a sheriff on this?
My thoughts as sheriff is it directly a result of closing the border. The border was so open, Sean. We went down there and saw it was just, I mean, it would turn your stomach. But closing that border has definitely tightened the supply of fentanyl. You can tell that because the prices are going up. You know, supply, demand, it affects everything the same way. And just the number of fentanyl cases are coming down that we're making, both in the overdose and the unlawful possession cases are down. And as a law enforcement officer, I mean, it puts a smile on your face when you see that trend finally start going your way a little bit.
You don't have these stories a whole bunch where it goes that way. I mean,
unless
they move to some other drug that's more powerful. You never.
That's right. And I'll tell you this, their creativity is not going to go by the wayside. That, you know, they, again, we talked about inmates and they have all this time in the world to sit there and think about what they do. Well, the cartel has people, that's all they do is think about how to get drugs in the United States. Mm-hmm. So their creativity is through the roof. Their resources are as good as any country out there in what they have been able to do. But I do think the reason those numbers are down are directly related to closing the border.
It's not a demand issue, it's a supply issue.
It is.
Well, I'll take it however we can get it.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, just to see
happy
those
to numbers. Have it.
Yeah, me too. And you also talked about in those cases where somebody has overdosed, the technology y'all have to get that information back faster. Explain that to folks.
So we have a Randox machine.
Randox
machine. Okay. And so essentially it'll take a swab from inside the mouth and it'll give us within hours what drug that is that they actually were on, whether they overdosed and died or they lived, whatever the answer is. But it'll tell us what they took, whether that's meth, fentanyl, a combination of any of those sort of things. And we've shown that those are very accurate, very consistent with what you would get from the Alabama Department of Forensic Sciences.
Because before that, you would send it to Montgomery, right?
Right.
And wait
and
how
then
long?
And then the backlog hit, you know, because they're underfunded and no one's pointing fingers. It just took a long time. So if you didn't get that back for, you know, 90 to 180 days, well, that case is sit stagnant. You know, you're not able to do probable cause search warrants. You start losing a lot of the investigative tools that you need that are there closely related to the crime, the time of the, you know, the death or whatever it may be. So it's been a game changer in Baldwin County. You know, really, you know, the coroner, I go way back and I was so happy to be able to work with him on this to get those that Randox machine. And it's been a tremendous asset.
And talked about the assets, something you told me before we were talking about, I think, concealed carry permits and how the money, you know, and I'm talking about it here with Sheriff Birch for Mobile County. Same thing for y'all.
Absolutely.
Reminder, y'all, do not, if you want the money to go back to your sheriff's department in your county, do not get the lifetime.
That's right. Get the 5-year.
The lifetime, 100% of that goes to general fund.
Right. Goes to Montgomery when we could better utilize that money here locally for things like this.
I'd like to try to be naive and think they just didn't think it through, but I'm cynical enough to say.
Yeah, hey. you've been up there, Sean. I think some of these things are very intentional.
Because most people would say, well, heck, I want to help. You know, I want to help and let me just do a lifetime and get that done. It doesn't work that way. But that money is money that even now, and people get concealed carry permits, you know, to travel out of state for a bunch of different reasons. A couple of reasons. That money on the 5-year or less goes to y'all, and that goes to things like, I mean, you were talking about computer time y'all needed to go after these dirt bags.
So it allowed us to buy more software licensing so that we could open more phones in, you know, ICAT cases, internet crimes against children cases.
Because you'll have to buy it like a la carte, like how many more minutes? I don't know what the right term is, but.
Yeah, so we essentially I don't know what the right term would be either, but we had purchased up front maybe 50 phones that we could open, or, you know, licensed for 50 phones, and then we realized that we quickly run out of that. So you have to obviously buy more. And I'll tell you, it's unfortunate, but it's the way of the world. All the software licenses just get more and more expensive. When you look at our budget on how much we have to spend on digital forensics, it's a huge amount.
I mean, our silly stuff here, which compared to, I mean, it's very important to run this radio station, but it's important to us, but it doesn't have the same magnitude as y'all's. It goes up and up and up. And so when you said that to me, it kind of clicked with me, because you'll have a certain number of users, then you, like for us, for whatever software they need. And then if you have more, then it's the next benchmark of money. Absolutely. So that's the same thing
absolutely.
For y'all.
And so that's what some of that money goes for. You know, and there's a couple computers there that we have that we're replacing this year. Those computers are like $20,000 or $25,000, and our county CIS can't even get those. We have to order them specially from some vendor inside the country.
So that's where money like that is
absolutely.
Important.
Yeah, it's very important.
So that's
and of course
the,
just the normal things, the ballistic vests, ballistic helmets, all of those things that keep our people safe.
Well, B. Dark said, Baldwin County makes so much money and the state takes it. That's a grand discussion right there.
Gas taxes and lodging taxes. Absolutely.
You know, but all you have to do back, not that the sheriff's saying this, is just me, is go back and look at what happened after the oil spill and look at where the way the state made their case against Darko and BP and all that and showed the losses to the state came through Baldwin County and Mobile County. But then they decided but the rest of the state was hurt and needed the money, even though the case they made in trial was these two counties. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
There's just that. Just let that hang out there. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Come back and see me soon.
I'll be back next month.
All right. Very good. And y'all, if you got questions, you can always get those queued up by this time next month for Sheriff Lowry when he joins us. It's third week in the month, depending on the schedule. So we'll give you more heads up next time on that. And we'll be right back. More Midday Mobile.